Can I ask you a question first? How many have actually heard about the current prayer initiative, Thy Kingdom Come? Not that many, really, is it? If you have access to the internet and Google Thy Kingdom Come, you'll find out all about it. I think it's thykingdomcome.global, but anyway, if you can't remember that, just put in that Thy Kingdom Come. It's a call to prayer, originally from the Archbishop of York, John Sentamu, also backed by the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, and then it was taken up nationally by all the denominations and actually internationally as well. And it goes from Ascension Day, which was Thursday, to next Sunday, which is Pentecost. And why has this time chosen between Ascension Day and Pentecost? Well, when you read the book of Acts, you discover that what did the disciples do between Ascension and Pentecost? They joined together constantly in prayer, it says. So what better time to pray as the disciples did? So first of all, what is actually meant by the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven? They're interchangeable. It's just that Matthew says the kingdom of heaven because he was speaking to Jews and they didn't like to use the name of God. Well, the kingdom can't be found on a map. It hasn't got any boundaries. It is not a particular place. It's not what the Jewish people expected it to be, something physical. The kingdom isn't the church, but it's something much wider than that. Right at the centre of the preaching, we find the kingdom of God comes in. First of all, John the Baptist. He said, his first words were, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near." Or some say, "The kingdom of God is at hand." And then Jesus, when he began his ministry, he used exactly the same words. "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." The kingdom of God is the rule of God in the world and in the hearts of men and women. Say in the hearts of women, because Luke 17:21 says, "The kingdom of God is within you, within you." I remember when Roger Forster came up and he was talking about the kingdom of God. He said, "What is God kinging it in your life?" Now, I never heard that sort of verb before, but it is because it's an action. God being king in our lives, kinging it. I like that. And I've never forgotten it, probably because it is unusual. When Jesus drove out the demons, which Jenny read to us in that passage, he announced, "The kingdom of God has come to you." And you see that just before his ascension, he spoke about the kingdom of God. That's what he said he told the disciples about, all about the kingdom of God. And by his death, resurrection, and ascension, he claimed that kingship. But though the kingdom is here now, there's a not yet to it as well, as we well know, because we still have death, we still have sickness. When the kingdom really comes in, all that is going to go. 1 Corinthians 15:24 following, "The end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death." Isn't it great when that will be destroyed? We haven't got to worry about death anymore. So the kingdom is here, but also not yet. Jesus said the kingdom is like a mustard seed. It's something that started really small, but is gradually growing and growing all over the world now. But it's visible only to those who are already part of it now. Because as Jesus said to Nicodemus, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. It's something that most people don't know about and can't see. And Jesus sent out to proclaim the kingdom of God. That was the message he gave them. Go and proclaim the kingdom and heal the sick, just to prove that the kingdom had come in. They were given power and authority in his name, just as we've been given too. We have that same power and authority in the name of Jesus. And we all have a hope that one day, as John writes in the book of Revelation, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. That's the hope that all of us hopefully do have. So that's what's meant briefly by the kingdom of God. Now, when we pray, thy kingdom come, what actually are we praying? Of course, the Lord Prayer begins, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So first of all, we remind ourselves that we're God's children. We're adopted into his family. We're his sons and daughters. And that we seek God's glory by everything that we do. And I love the way John Sentimu himself put it. He said, it's as if when we say our Father in heaven, we let Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit take us by the hand and lead us into our Father's home. By his Son and his Spirit, the two hands of God, the Father embraces his children and draws them to himself. I think that's a beautiful picture. I think it's so good. I'll read it again. It's as if when we say, our Father in heaven, we let Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit take us by the hand and lead us into our Father's home. By his Son and his Spirit, the two hands of God, the Father embraces his children and draws them to himself. It's a lovely picture when we start praying that prayer. We are praying by saying, thy kingdom come, that the entire world might discover God's true identity. We pray that God's power, his wisdom, holiness, his rule of justice and peace will be made known, honoured and glorified by all God's creatures, all God's people. At the same time, when we pray, thy kingdom come, it's an act of surrendering our life to God, so that through us, God can share his divine life with others. Our purpose is to glorify God, to honour his name, and desire and delight in his kingdom, and always be ready to do his will. That's what we're surrendering to when we say, thy kingdom come. Lynn Green, who's the General Secretary of the Baptist Union, who I heard speaking yesterday, says this, thy kingdom come is saying, he is Lord and I'm not. It's about trusting him, about willing obedience, about eager cooperation, and about making space for God to do what he wants. John Sentimer again says, my hope is that praying thy kingdom come will turn us all into people able to communicate the good news of Jesus in a way that brings healing, the assurance of forgiveness, and hope for the new life that is God's gift to us. And he said that he would seek to pray on the hour, every hour, that prayer, but presumably not while he's asleep, if he didn't wake up every hour through the night. So, I didn't want to say that much this morning, because what I want to do is spend a little more time in prayer, because we have particular prayers to go with this. So that's what we're going to do later. But first of all, I will share one of the prayers that was on the website, which is the prayer of Mother Teresa of Calcutta. This was her prayer, which is a challenge to each one of us in our prayer. Help me to spread your fragrance everywhere I go. Flood my soul with your spirit and love and life, that my life may only be a radiance of yours. Shine through me and be so in me that every soul I meet may feel your presence. Come, Holy Spirit, to renew us. And as we pray for people we know to come to Jesus, it should be an encouragement to know that we're joining with thousands of others, not just in this country, but across the world. When we pray, we're joining with thousands of others during this week. So hopefully we can take up this challenge too. I don't know whether all of us remember to pray on the hour, every hour, but we can pray, all of us can simply use those words, can we? Pray, thy kingdom come. We're going to use this prayer after we've shared in communion. But while we're receiving communion and preparing, I'd like each of us to think of five people who we'd like to pray will come to know Jesus. Five people. Ask the Holy Spirit to bring to mind five people who you'd like to pray for.